First of all, we have a new member to our council, Robert from St. George.
Yes.
Introduce yourself briefly.
Sure. Robert Cosen. I guess my title is the Chief Prosecuting Attorney, the St. George City Attorney's Office. Sean Guzman is my boss, the city attorney. Most of you probably know him. I've been prosecuting for a little over 10 years. I started out in the Iron County Attorney's Office under Scott Garrett and Troy Little, worked for 2 years there, and then moved to St. George with my family and started working in the St. George City Attorney's Office. I've been there ever since. So that's my story. Two kids, you know, 14-year-old girl that we're living life with and enjoying and loving, and a 10-year-old boy. So.
We're just surprised someone from St. George has a long sleeve shirt. That was it.
Not surprising at all, I can imagine.
Okay, we are joined by on the phone by Scott from Post.
Okay.
We're just going around doing introductions, so.
All right, let's go ahead and start with you, Bob.
Okay, Bob Church, the director of the council. Scott, you want to chime in?
Yeah, my name is Scott Stevenson. I'm the director of Peace Officers and Training, St. Croix.
Great, thanks.
Carolyn Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
Chris Stevens, UPAA.
Will Carlson with Salt Lake County DA and SWAP.
Robert Cosen, St. George City Attorney's Office.
Tyson Skeen, Prosecution Counsel.
Ron Wade, Prosecution Counsel.
Russell Smith, Attorney General's Office.
Rob Van Dyke, King County Attorney.
Barry Huntington, Garfield County Attorney.
Chan Ferris Morgan, County Attorney.
Scott Swett, Wasatch County Attorney.
Jared Eldridge, Trent County Attorney.
Jeff Bielman, Utah County Attorney.
Steve Garside, Layton City. All right, let's get going. Again, welcome to Robert and Russell for taking over for the AG's office today. Good to have you with us, Mr. Stevenson. Sorry about that. We'll go ahead.
It is Stevenson.
It is Stevenson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Oh, good. I'm glad you can hear us, Scott.
Okay. All right. So is anybody ready to make a motion regarding the June 24th meeting minutes?
I would move we approve them.
A motion by Dan to approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Barry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. That takes care of that. We're going to jump right into our conferences. It's the Bob and Marilyn Show.
Let's see. OOMPA, we had a good conference this year. We brought in the Tyson's counterpart, the TSRP from Colorado. Had a really good presentation. Obviously, they've been dealing with marijuana impaired driving for longer than, well, not longer than we have, but it's come more to the forefront from them. So it was a great presentation. OOMPA adopted some bylaws earlier in the year, so their president now will serve for a 2-year term. The vice president will effectively serve for 4 years, 2 years as the vice president, 2 years as the president. They want to be more involved. So it was Jake Summers from Orem City as the president and Nick Mills from Layton City as the vice president. And they are in the process of selecting an executive representative that will basically chair MISLAC. Come to SWAPLAC, handle legislative matters, and that will be a 4-year term. So this is their desire. It reflects their desire to be more involved, on legislative issues, particularly when it comes to misdemeanor prosecutors.
And then just a quick on that, their organization, their bylaws, just hats off to Tyson Skeen for putting that together so that they are more organized and they'll be better involved.
Yeah,
so thanks,
yeah,
Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson's done a really great job. I appreciate that. It was one of the other duties as assigned. So he's done a great job. BASIC this year, it just keeps getting better. The students were, I don't know, it just seemed to me that they weren't young in terms of age, but we had just really young in terms of experience. I mean, we had some people that had just barely passed the bar exam. That we had one attorney who was a little bit older, but she'd never really done criminal law. So we ran the gambit. Physically, age-wise, but experience, they're all pretty young, but they were great. Matt Bates, since he took the bench, we needed to find a new faculty. So Anne Marie from Juab County, Jared, did an amazing job. She was one of our Train the Trainer students earlier this year. She was great. Rhonda Woolston from the Salt Lake City Prosecutor's Office won our Golden Kickball Trophy. That's just, it's not, doesn't represent, you know, their prowess at playing kickball, but that's just kind of what we come up is, you know, who really is demonstrating some great, great potential.
We actually had two attorneys come down from Wyoming.
Yep.
And saying that this was amazing training.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, so we've opened it up, so we may see Wyoming prosecutors come down a little more often to our training because they just really appreciated what we were doing. So that was a real compliment to the faculty that they did such a great job. Anything else, Marilyn? Okay. So that's it. Our upcoming conferences. I failed to put fall. Fall is today, starting today. We are excited for several reasons. One, we don't want to call it the Creighton Horton Show, but it's kind of become that. So we're really looking forward to Creighton and his presentation on mental health issues. Dr. Nancy Cohen, some of you may know Dr. Cohen, she's a forensic psychologist, is also coming. She and Creighton have worked together in the past, and they have collaborated on the presentations. Mr. Garside is going to participate with Creighton. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that, to the props that will be used. Our numbers were about 105 registered, including presenters.
114.
Oh, 114 with presenters? Okay, so it's even more than the last time. And we're excited because we're afraid that people wouldn't want to come to Vernal. I kept telling certain people that Vernal, it really isn't so bad. There's a beautiful conference facility and nice hotels, and she shall remain nameless, and there's, you know, some good shopping, and that's proven to be true. So, but I think really why people are here is just the content of the conference, and so we're really excited. I think it's going to be a great conference. On Thursday, tomorrow, George Brockler, the DA that prosecuted Jeremy Holmes, the Colorado theater shooter, will be here, and we're looking forward to that. Government civil practice is in 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks from today.
Let me just give you some logistics for
fall conference. Thank you.
So the conference itself is upstairs. When you come in the conference center, just go up the stairs, and we have the whole back end of it.
And where is it from?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I meant to write that in here. So probably the easiest way is if you go out on the parking lot on the main street through town, whatever that is, you know, you'll curve around and you're going to go through town. It's probably 7-8 blocks. You're looking for Vernal Avenue. It's one of the major intersections. If you turn left, it would take you to Flaming Gorge. If you turn right, go 2 blocks to 200 South, then turn left, and it's another 2 blocks down on your left. Once you get onto 200 South and go past the first little house there, you'll see it open up, and it's you'll
so north of here and then.
Go towards the temple, and it's like 2 blocks.
What's that?
The
just go out to the main road.
Well, you'll just see this big red building.
Just go to US 40 down.
The other part is if we take the wrong turn, we end up at Flaming Gorge.
Yes. Yeah, so
correct.
There's no way.
Yeah, Russell. No, don't. Do not turn left off of the main drag, Russell. Turn right on Vernal Boulevard. Okay. So that's how you get there. We start at 1 o'clock with announcements. I don't have details on the shoot in terms of where it's at, but Mark will be with us. He'll invite us here, and we'll give us a little bit more details on where we're going for the shoot. If you're not shooting, you can still come to the barbecue with a caveat. He's got 65 tickets. I've got about 35 to 40 that are committed. So if you didn't sign up with me ahead of time, check with me once the conference starts, and there may be some tickets. The UNA County Attorney and Sheriff, they've catered a Dutch oven dinner to come in. I mean, so they really have done a good job helping us out for tonight. So that should be good. Okay, so the government civil practice, the agenda.
Before we get to that.
Oh, man.
Sorry. No. One of the reasons that we want to do this is, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, Creighton was like the go-to guy when it came to mental health issues. And we really haven't had anybody pick up that sword, so to speak, and carry it for the rest of us as being that type of of a person, that type of resource. So if you can think of somebody, we could do that. I mean, kind of like when, you know, when we lost Chad, he was the go-to guy on the forfeiture stuff. And so Scott Reed has got his group back together, and they're rekindling that, so that we've got that resource. So if you can think of somebody that, or a group or an office that would be willing to develop and maintain that expertise to be a resource for the rest of us, would, you know, that would be, obviously it's an issue that's just increasing all the time. So anyway, yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Go through conference.
See, we talked about it last night, and I just didn't write it down. I got to write it down. I guess one other thing in terms of Creighton, he's selling his book, The Reluctant Prosecutor, but he recognizes that he's not here to sell the book per se. So what he's going to do is I'll just make one announcement that if anybody's interested in purchasing his book, he's going to be in the lobby of this hotel Thursday from like 8 to 10 in the evening. So he's not even going to sell it on site of the conference center because he doesn't want to make it, you know, about him. So we appreciated that. Anything else? Okay. Anything else, Marilyn? Okay. Government civil, the agenda's in there. It should be a good conference. That will be, I didn't put on here, government civil is preceded that same week with the training committee. Steve was going to talk a little bit about that, but if you have any questions, you know, you can take a look at the agenda. And then the county district attorney's executive seminar, the majority of the folks in here will be there, so it's November 10th and 11th, also in St. George at the Hilton Garden Inn, both places. So we don't have topics. Who is it that puts your county executive conference together in terms of the agenda? Who do we help with that? It'll be James. Okay. All right, so I don't think there's anything else on that.
Okay. Any questions on that?
Okay. All right, financial report. So you've got the numbers for June, July, and August, so you can compare for the, you know, to last year at the same time. So if all we relied on were surcharge, it's not great, but fortunately we've got other sources of income, so we are projecting to have a good year. The budget comparison report, the only when we met in June, I had gotten the number and I thought that it was a hard number, but apparently it was just an estimate. I had estimated that we were going to have $105,900 in carryover. The actual number is $102,519.
That's good work.
Yeah. And then I'll raise this issue in just a minute, but there's an additional $15,000 that I need to account then in terms of income. It used to be a pass-through that we would send directly to CJC for their spring symposium. For reasons, as I said, we'll discuss in a minute, we're no longer going to pass through that money. So it was after when I printed the budget that I was talking to Marilyn to figure out how to account for that. So now I know how to do it, but just realized that that $15,000 is not accounted for on that budget report. So unless anybody has any specific questions about the budget, those are just the highlights I wanted to bring to your attention.
And you want to explain why we're not doing that pass-through anymore?
Yes, okay, so this
actually... I'm going to wait and talk about that a little bit later, I don't know.
It's further down.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we'll wait, okay. Okay. The next one under the financial, this is a reimbursement from SWAP. I was hoping that Paul could be here. We talked about it briefly last time. Paul is going to talk to the SWAP board about it. And this is that issue in terms of civil conferences. Is Paul brought to my attention earlier in the spring that SWAP was supposed to or was going to reimburse UPC, or that was the intent very early on. I guess because the surcharge had been up for a period of time, Mark never sent the bill to Paul to be reimbursed. Paul graciously offered a certain number of years, and so I sent him that information. But when I went before the SWAT board, there was some concern over reimbursing UPC for those past expenses. And so that's going to be an issue that will be discussed at the SWAT board meeting. However, Paul has agreed that for this year's civil conference, that SWAP will reimburse. We budgeted about $16,000, give or take, in terms of expenses. And so what I would anticipate is whatever we collect in registration fees, you know, we offset against the actual expenses, and then is there...
With all due respect, that's a board decision, not Paul's.
Well, no, sorry. What I meant is he's going to take that to the board.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I misspoke. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so in the June budget, I had accounted for a possible reimbursement. I have since taken that out, so that's the other major thing that is no longer in the budget this year, or right now. As I was going through the line items in the budget, there was a reimbursement from SWAP for the cost of the county executive conference, and so I keep alluding, should have probably put this sooner in the budget, as to why I'm looking for these other sources of income, but that will become apparent here in a few minutes. So those are just two areas where the SWAT board needs to discuss about reimbursing UPC for paying for those two conferences.
All right, anything else? Any questions on the budget report from anybody? If I could entertain a motion to accept the financial report, I should say.
So moved.
Mr. Ferris, do I have a second to that one?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And that's to me, to the train committee report. We don't have a lot to report since we're going to be meeting next week. We want input, criticism, recommendations, you know, regarding this last year as far as conferences go. Just to let you know, I mean, the committee that meets, they bring a whole bunch of ideas, we brainstorm, we put all the topics up on a board, and we go through those to see which ones are most critical, and we usually will leave a couple of spots open for like the latest hot topic, whatever happens to come to the top of it. If you would really think about what it is that you think prosecutors need to be trained on and get those topics to a member of that board and so that we can handle that out in a couple of weeks.
We're starting to see more ambient defenses. I don't know if anybody else is.
Uh-huh.
But we've had two homicide cases with that defense. We have another one pending right now with that defense. We had a rape case with that defense. So we think that's an issue that's coming out of probably... SVU cases are probably going to come up too.
Yeah.
The other thing, Steve, is we did a what we intended to be a real small white collar conference. So we were doing it for our police officers. And really, what is a report of white a crime and when is it civil? And we just wanted to do it for like 30 or 40 officers, and we ended up having 75 or 80 come. And you know, it's a boring topic generally. But we had, you know, the U.S. Attorney, FBI, SEC, Consumer Protection. We had people just coming out of the woodwork that wanted to come and talk about what their offices did and how they could support these kind of business transaction crimes. We had surprisingly good feedback that's something we should expand. And
who did your training?
We were training mostly police officers.
No, sorry. No, who were the your trainers?
But we had the AG's office, your white collar guy.
Dave Sonnenreich?
No, Kevin New York.
New York.
Che.
Aguayo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it Che?
No, it wasn't. Anyway, we had AG.
Robert Steed? No.
We had Rob Lump, the U.S. attorneys. We had a lot of people from my office.
How long was the training?
We only did 4 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We could do longer, but we didn't think we'd have much response.
Because we did the white collar crime in conjunction with the AG's office a year ago, January. Did anybody from your office come to that?
Yeah.
And
presented to that, I believe.
Yeah, was it helpful? And this is beyond what that conference was?
This is more geared towards the police.
Okay.
More geared towards the police. So, you know, they get a lot of complaints and phone calls. Mm-hmm. You know, can you do something about, I just lost $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
The conference kind of centered around when is it a crime, when is it civil.
Did you involve Post at all with that? I mean, is anybody, Scott, do you know if there's anybody training at Post on white collar these issues? I don't know if you could hear Jeff Buman, but they did an in-house training on you know, when white collar crime is civil, when it's criminal.
Right. No, we don't have any training currently.
Okay.
Just to bring all the players, you know, who touches these types of complaints, was eye opening. You know, I've been a prosecutor 20 years, and I didn't know what consumer protection did. Mm-hmm. It was eye opening.
Okay.
Excellent.
Is that something we want to sponsor here at Post?
Well, that's what I was wondering is, for some reason you're not coming through on my speaker. And maybe that's a discussion that we can formulate with the training committee and then maybe go to Post just to see where we want to go, but we'll keep you in the loop, Scott.
It's beneficial for some prosecutors because we have cops calling us and saying,
yeah,
what do I do with this?
Right.
So we did have some prosecutors there as well.
Because I'm thinking, if it is geared more towards law enforcement, if we get Post involved, you know, obviously they'll get the word out. I mean, we can get the word out as well, but if we can, you know, co-sponsor something with them. So we'll take that to the training committee.
Director, would that be
yes.
something we could do in a webinar?
I'm sorry, you could do where?
Is that something we could do in a webinar format?
I don't know. Jeff, what do you think? Could it be a webinar?
Why not?
Maybe, yeah. So
it was relatively interactive, but
okay. Well, or maybe at Post, Scott, couldn't we, if we had an audience there, but we also filmed it and broadcast it live? I mean, is that what you're thinking, or just having the presenters come in there to the recording studio, record it, and do it that way?
We could do either way, but the webinar, we have a studio, and they would just come here and put on the presentation, and then we had officers live stream in, and they can ask questions, and just like a formal classroom only through via technology.
Okay. Let's let have the training committee talk about it and see where we want to go with that. But I think it's probably something that we would want to co-sponsor with Post if it's really going to be focused heavily on law enforcement officers.
Very good, just let me know.
Okay.
Right. Excellent. Other topics. If there's nothing right on the top of your head right now, please really think about that. What's going on in your offices that you need support from UPC as far as training? Donna.
We've been working with the Salt Lake DA's office to do a couple of trainings, which they are actually going to fund, one coming up. At the end of February, to February 23rd and 24th, we've seen a real need for, when we've been going around the state talking about trauma, I think a lot of people are starting to understand it better and using it in their cases, deviant sexual assault cases. But the missing piece was still, we always had a problem with having people available to testify in court about trauma. So the Salt Lake DA Rich Hamp from the Salt Lake DA's office and I decided we needed to do a training for how to use expert witnesses in these cases. And so we would really love it if everybody around the state would try to send somebody from your office to this. We're gonna do bring Equitas in, which is a prosecutor resource nonprofit group that trains all over the country on sexual assault and domestic violence. And so I think these kind of partnerships with the DA's office, we've done a couple different trainings with them now as the co-sponsor. Last year we brought in David Lisak, who's a national expert on trauma. Anyway, I think those kind of partnerships are really productive and helpful. And so we'll be sending out some information about that particular training, but I would like to do more in that. So, and if anybody else wants to partner with us to do something, we'd be happy to do that too.
Donna, when is that training going to be?
February 23rd and 24th next year. And we're gonna do, it's really going to be excellent. We're going to do a lecture type format to it, but most of it's going to be real practical, hands-on. We're going to give out assignments to people and have them, you know, do practice as to what you would use, you know, how you would question that expert witness and that kind of thing. It's going to be very practical, hands-on kind of trainings. So.
All right.
And there was a recent Court of Appeals decision, by the way, State versus Kirby, a couple weeks ago. An awesome, awesome case where the Court of Appeals, Steve Garside tipped me off to this. Hey, did you see that opinion yesterday? Where the Court of Appeals talked about trauma in their decision. They said, we recognize that trauma, you know, can cause, you know, inconsistencies and gaps in the memory, and that does not necessarily affect the overall credibility of a witness. So, especially when trauma is involved, can cause these things, right? So that was awesome to see that in the Utah Court of Appeals decision.
Yeah, it was exciting. We saw that.
I know that the Salt Lake DA's office has, especially Sandy Jones, and she has called a trauma expert for a lot of her sexual assault trials, and said that she called me. She had three trials in a 2-week period of time, the cases that went to trial, and all of them first degree felonies, all of them sex cases. And she called an expert in every one, and she said in one case in particular, she thinks that's the reason they won the case, because the jury, when she went back to talk to the jury, they commented about how it all made sense to them after the expert testified. So anyway, that's sort of the last frontier, is we need to develop a pool of experts for witnesses, for prosecutors to be able to call people and talk about it at the trial.
Groundbreaking work, Ms. Kelly. Thank you so much.
It's been really exciting.
You're right. Again, so send us topics.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on training? Yeah, okay. We're going to bring this up with the training committee, but I guess the council would like your input if you've got any guidances. When we collaborate and co-sponsor conferences like Donna's doing with the DA's office, that, you know, just adds, if UPC were to take it over, that would add one more conference that we just really can't fit into our schedule. But we recognize the benefit of having, you know, co-sponsoring and collaborating with other agencies. I guess my first question is the council okay with that, you know, reaching out to other agencies and sponsoring training that, like I said, we wouldn't normally handle, only because logistically and time-wise. How do council's feelings on that?
Go ahead. What does that usually cost?
Well, no, see, and that's just it, Marilyn and I are gonna sit down and come up with an MOU, for lack of a better term, in terms of this is what UPC can do. Is, you know, we're not gonna pay for it, or if we pay for it, it would be something, you know, that we get approved. With Salt Lake, the benefit with Salt Lake is SIM has quite a hefty training budget. And so, for example, this expert training isn't going to cost UPC anything. The homicide conference, we're not really a co-sponsor with that. We're lending our assistance to that, but that's not costing us anything. Where the cost comes down to is just in terms of, really, it's Maryland's time. And so that's what we're going to come up with in terms of some guidance that we'll take to the training committee. Here's what we can do. We can help you with registration in terms of online registration, but you've got to provide the staff to sit at the registration table, or you've got to prepare the brochure. You know, we'll just lend our expertise. But we're not looking at expending any more funds. It's just, does the council feel like that's getting out of, you know, what we normally do? Should we, again, you know, co-sponsor and name and, you know, offering advice, or should we just really stick to what the training committee sets forth in terms of schedule?
I'm assuming that when they co-sponsor something, it's available for everybody.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
I think as long as it's available to everybody, and as long as it's not affecting you or the work, that's something you're going to have to decide as the manager.
Right.
As the director, you're going to have to decide, you know, how that affects your workload. But I would leave that decision to you. You're the manager of the situation here. You manage the people and make sure everything's getting done needs to be done. If it expends money other than a nominal amount, I think that needs to come to the board.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would let you manage your the people in the department heads.
And I think the coordination is important, so that we don't duplicate efforts. You know, we can build off of each other. You know,
yeah.
we might have a general topic, and then if we need some specific things, we work with them. And,